Well, good morning again. Merry Christmas. All right, I didn't know if you're in the mood yet or not. It's kind of warm outside still, so maybe cold helps you. It helps me to have a little bit of cool weather. Just wanted to say thank you to Jonathan and Natalie, if I say it the correct way. So next Sunday is the big celebration, right? And so lots of music, lots of moving parts, lots of cool stuff. And so we realized, oh, we didn't line up who's going to be leading music this week. And so Jonathan came in. We lined it up. Jonathan flew in last night at 9 or 10 o'clock. They were practicing for this morning. So thanks to Jonathan and Natalie for figuring out how to help us lead this morning. So give them a thank you real quick. And you don't want to miss next week because I know Sandy, Martin, Roberto, Pam, all the choir, all these people have been preparing. It's going to be spectacular. So make sure you're here. Dave wasn't kidding. It's a big deal. The service and the food. And the food apparently also is a big deal. I haven't seen this, but I've seen some of the preparations going in. So we're glad you're here. We're beginning a Christmas theme, a Christmas series. And so the first message is a man for Christmas. Now, some of you ladies are thinking, oh, I can go. No, you can't go. All right. So next Sunday we'll have our Christmas celebration, and then it's a woman for Christmas the week after, the 16th, and so I'll come at you. I said, normally the rule is ladies first, right? So why are you starting with a man? Well, I figured you ladies wouldn't mind if I pound on the guys a little bit first, right? So okay. So we'll start with a man for Christmas. Don't worry. All the points, actually, if you have your bulletin and you take your notes out, all the points that you'll fill in also apply to women, okay? But we just want to look at a character this morning named Joseph as we walk through the characters of Christmas. It's amazing things. As we get into it, though, I don't know if you've heard or not, but Henry Cavill is stepping out as Superman. So we have to find a new Superman, right? And so there's a number of people that they're thinking about of who's going to step into this role. One is Michael B. Jordan. He's a possibility. Maybe he could fit that role well. Another is John Hamm. They've thrown him out. That would be a funny Superman, right? Idris Elba, maybe, can step in as the new Superman, possibly. Another, Taron Egerton. Again, maybe that would be a fun Superman that we could have. And then another option here, Joe Manganiello. His name has been floated as the possibility of the next Superman. And then one more here, Oscar Isaac. His name has been put out there. Hey, I think this guy would be a great Superman. So yeah, what does it take for somebody to get to be Superman, right? I mean, you have to look. I mean, all these guys have what? Huge muscles, right? And some of that's computer generated and some of it's not. I mean, I remember watching some documentaries about Henry Cavill and what he had to do to be ready for this role. I mean, intense training. You got to be muscular. You got to have the right hair, right? I'm out on that one. No way. Couldn't do it. You have to have the right hair. You have to have the confidence. You have to look like Superman, don't you? You have to have these qualities if you're even going to play the role of Superman. So who is next? Who's going to be the next Superman? Big question. We'll find out, I'm sure, soon enough. But when I think about that, I think about this question. Who should play the role dad of the Savior of the world? Can you imagine the angels talking this over? What does he have to look like? Does he have to have muscles? What does his hair have to be like? I mean, what does he need to be the guy that plays father to God the Son? Now see, God the Son has grown up or been around a father all along, right? What's his name? His name is Yahweh, God the Father. And now we need a human being to play that role for this baby. Whoa! Talk about a big job, big shoes to fill, difficult role to play. That's what we're talking about here for Joseph, right? So who's going to be able to play that role well? Actually, the Bible shows us who is supposed to play that role. And in Matthew chapter 1, you can pull your Bible out, open the app, open the book, whatever you have there, and turn to Matthew chapter 1. We see the person God chose to play this role. The father to the Son of God, the Savior of the world. And so Joseph had this role. And so what we're going to do this morning, as we talk about a man for Christmas, we're going to look at what are some characteristics that Joseph displayed. And again, ladies, these will apply to you as well, but we're going to zero in and work on the guys a little this morning. Let me pray. Father, I thank you for the time to get together. I thank you that we can call you Father. And so as we look at the earthly Father of our Savior Jesus, I pray that we can learn from him. And Lord, that we will be inspired to play our role that you have us to play. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so start reading in verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So what's this first characteristic we see about Joseph? As we walk through the story, so they're engaged. Joseph and Mary are engaged. And so they were, you know, very close to actually being officially married. But then she comes in one day and she says, Joseph, I have good news. He's like, okay, I'm going to have a baby. Oh, that's not good news, sweetie. That's not good news. It's from God. Sure it is. Sure, right. Okay. You had an angel? Oh, I see. Yeah, right? Wow. I'm talking about some difficult news to take. Your fiance comes and says, I'm having a baby, and it's from God. Okay, gotcha. Very, very good. But I want you to see what happens. Whenever this situation comes up in Joseph's life, here's what happens. We see him respond because he's secure in his identity. You can write that in. He was secure in his identity. And this is massive for us men, all of us, but men in particular. So again, verse 19, and after her husband Joseph, and her husband Joseph being, it says. So he hears about this and it says, and Joseph being. And whatever follows, follows. But the fact is, it was established. He wasn't trying to be. He wasn't wanting to become. It says being. His identity was set. He had already been through these questions. He had settled into who he was. It's important for us as well to understand who we are. Because who you are, listen, who you are determines how you will respond when a situation comes your way. See, most of the time something comes our way and we don't have time to ask big questions. Who am I? How should I respond? No, in that moment you have to make a decision. You have to respond. And so who you are determines the direction you'll go when you have a situation come your way. It'll be automatic. And you've seen this happen. Whenever somebody says something, it triggers you. Boom, you're like, ooh, there's something in there I didn't realize was there. Or something good happens and you respond in a positive way. Or something difficult and you have a sacrifice kind of response. But whatever's inside will come out. He was secure in his identity. And here's really where we're heading with this. Private victories, men, listen. Private victories ready a man for public battles. Private victories ready a man for public battles. What are we saying here? Well, let's think back. Let's think back. Think about David. Remember King David? What was his big battle? Goliath, right? The giant. Everyone's afraid of Goliath. But David is able to take out Goliath. Was that his first battle? No. Where had David grown the confidence of who he was so he could take on Goliath? With the lion, right? While he's watching the sheep, the lion comes in to take away the sheep. And Scripture tells us, David tells him, look, I killed a lion. Who was with David whenever he took on the lion? Nobody. He was by himself. And apparently he won, right? He won, and so then he begins to build this winning way. And then the bear comes along. Who's with David? He's by himself. And what does he do? He wins. So he's a winner. He's a winner. Alone. And then he has the opportunity in front of people. And who he was by himself is revealed in front of many people. The private battles ready a man for the public ones. The private victories are so important. Are you a winner? Think about Jesus. What was Jesus' greatest battle? The cross, right? Where he takes on the sin of the whole world on himself on the cross when he dies. How tempting must it have been to run, to call the angels, to come down from the cross. But no, the battle, he was a winner. He'd already gotten used to winning battles. What about his battles? Remember the wilderness? For 40 days, no food. And then the enemy, Satan, comes after him, and he wins. And then in Gethsemane, just a few hours before the cross, that's where the battle apparently was a difficult one because he's sweating drops of blood as the enemy's saying, find another way. You don't have to do this. The enemy's tempting, and he says, your will, not mine. He won. So then he's ready for the public battle. Private victories prepare a man for public battles. And so guys, I would just ask this question. Are you secure in your identity? Ladies as well. Do you know who you are whenever they talk about you? So-and-so being. What does that look like? Who are you? And maybe you would say, you know what? I do have some identity, and I don't like all of it. I don't like all the things that are in there. I have great news for you. Christmas is for you because Jesus is the answer to that. The Bible tells us when we trust Jesus, we become a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. He can transform us. And then once we come to know him, everything's not perfect day one. We begin to grow and we learn and he refines and he grows and teaches and matures us. So who are you? Are you moving forward? Are you learning in your identity? Joseph was secure. It says Joseph being. Who he was established. Look again at verse 19. Let's look at the rest of this verse. Joseph being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. So Joseph has the opportunity of making a decision, and who he was already established. And here's what that is. He was just and he was kind. He was just, it says, but then we also see that he was kind. Have any of you ever moved a piano before? Yes, great times, right? What is it about a piano? See, a piano requires some pretty significant strength, right, gentlemen? You ever try to move one by yourself? Pretty soon you're like, I'm going to have to get help on this. You know, I'm one of those guys, and my wife, Laura, can tell you the kids too. It's a weakness, actually. Sometimes I try to just do it myself instead of trying to call someone. But whenever you get to a piano, all of a sudden you're like, this thing is bigger than me. I'm whipped. I got to get some help. Pianos are big, so you have to be strong to move a piano. But what's the other side of a piano? It's a musical instrument. You can't drop it. It'll be ruined. You can't fix it if you drop it. So you have to be strong and gentle to move a piano. And this is what we're talking about. Being strong, being able to carry the heavy load, do what's difficult in the right way, in the gentle way. And that's what we see from Joseph. He was going to do the right thing, but he was also going to do it the right way. You see, if you do the right thing the wrong way, it becomes the wrong thing. Do the right thing the right way. But let's talk about that right thing first. Here's what we have to understand. Joseph was not going to overlook it. He wasn't. His fiance is pregnant, okay? And God hadn't spoken to him. And so he's like, okay, I didn't father this child because I've been around, I'm hanging around me, so I know I wasn't there for that. So the right thing to do is to, what does the Bible say? What are the scriptures, the Old Testament, the law, says if someone's caught in adultery, or if you have adultery, okay, we're going to separate from this, right? So he's like, you know what? Apparently she's committed adultery. She's been with someone else. I'm going to do the right thing. And not just say, it's okay. No, I'm going to do the right thing. So he says, I'm going to let her go. And this, you know, again, in this day, it's so interesting to even talk about this because, I mean, divorce obviously is rampant, right? And so it happens all the time. But for us to say the right thing to do for Joseph instead of just forgiving, you know, because as a church, we're always saying, hey, look, if someone commits adultery, forgive them and see if you can restore and make everything right, okay? That's what we're saying these days because we're after Jesus, we're in the grace time. And obviously, Scripture talks about divorce, and we're not going to get into divorce this morning. But here's the point. Joseph was dedicated to doing what was right, but he was going to do it the right way. And here's what I really want to say to everyone, but especially to the men today. Let's do what's right. Let's do what's right. You know, what if Mary had begged, Joseph, please don't. Would that have swayed him? No, because he had already decided, this is who I am. What if she had offered, look, I'll bake you cookies every day. What if she had offered other favors? Hey, I'll do this, this, or this. He's like, no, it doesn't matter. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do the right thing. And so I just call us, let's do the right thing. Whenever we know the right thing to do, man, pursue that. Don't be persuaded to do otherwise. So we need to be dedicated, to be strong. And here's the difficult part, and hang with me on this. I want to say this with grace, but I also want to say it with sincerity. Mary wasn't going to enjoy this, okay? He was going to turn her loose, a single mom. That was going to be very difficult for Mary. But he was going to do it anyway because he had a conviction it was the right thing to do. And so here's what I'm saying. Even if other people around you may not be comfortable with your decision, you have to take it anyway. You have to when you know it's the right thing to do. But then how do you do it? This is what we see from Joseph. Incredible. He says, I'm not going to shame her publicly. He could have had her stoned. I mean, that's what they did a lot of times. When people caught in adultery, we see Jesus later on, right? This woman caught in adultery and they begin to pick up the rocks. He could have had Mary stoned, but he didn't because he loved her. So he's going to go the right path, but he's not going to be harsh. He's not going to be mean. He's not going to be brutal about it. And so very, very important for us gentlemen as well to be loving in the way we go. Man, this is difficult sometimes. Especially, it's really hard whenever you have this conviction and it's an intense thing, right? And you know people aren't going to like it. It may be easier just to say no, and then they won't bother you anymore, right? If you're mean about it, then maybe they won't come and challenge you anymore. It's like, no, I love you, but this is the way we're going to go. Well, if I'm too soft, they're going to keep asking. No, we can be loving and right. Joseph shows this. So we can learn from Joseph the power of being just and kind all at the same time. So it's just a question to you then. Are you just and kind? When people around you say, hey, I know, no matter what comes up, if there's an opportunity to do something that's underhanded or whatever, he's not going to do it because he's just. And then I would say, are you also kind? Are you loving in the way you lead and take care of and live with the people that are around you? Joseph, again, incredible example. He's raising the bar for me. I'm like, oh, this guy, really, really good. Now, by the way, when it comes to this one, if you're feeling like, man, you know, I'm not getting it done here, I have great news. The Holy Spirit can help you. You see, the fruit of the Spirit is a whole list of things. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. And so we need love, and the Holy Spirit can give us that. And so if we know Jesus, we're walking with him, the Holy Spirit lives inside. And as we listen and allow him to have power and leadership in our lives, he will lead us and we'll be loving. And he will help us and we'll be good. We'll do the right thing the right way, like Joseph. Let's keep reading. So he's decided, I'm going to go ahead and divorce her, but we'll do it quietly. I'm going to take the right path, but be as gentle as I can about it. Verse 20, but as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Ah, here it is. Joseph gets his moment, right? So Mary had the angel come. Now Joseph is like, okay, now I can see what's happening. And the beautiful thing is Joseph listened to God. Joseph listened to God. Now all of us should be good listeners, right? But if there's one gender that has a harder time with this, perhaps it's the male gender. True? We don't have any amens. Guys, come on, let's be honest. Sometimes we don't listen, right? Our wives are talking to us and we're not hearing. In fact, a guy the other day, Josh told me a story the other day of as a joke, he said, you know what? I was hanging out with my wife and she started the conversation with, are you even listening to me? We don't listen very well. We have these two things on the side of our heads. We're not really sure what they're for. Maybe holding sunglasses, right? Some of you are great listeners, right? But all of us need to be listening. We need to be listening and hearing from God. And so Joseph, he was listening. And God spoke to him. And the way God spoke to him was through a dream. I think it's fascinating that Joseph heard from God through a dream. Remember the Old Testament Joseph? He was a guy about the dreams. He was called the dreamer, right? So dreams with this Joseph as well. And so God speaks to him through a dream. But he knew it was God. He knew that it was God. Just this morning I heard of somebody else who talked about a dream that they had where God spoke to them through a dream. So I wonder, you know, how does God speak to you? How do you hear from God? What is the method? And there's lots of different ways that God can speak. I mean, he's used a donkey before, right? But some of the common ways, I know for me, the most common way for me is scripture. I'll be reading through scripture, and then these words will just jump off the page. And I'll sense the Holy Spirit saying, Danny, this is for you. I'm like, oh, so fun when that happens. I've also had times where I'm taking a step, right? And I just feel almost this wall. And I can sense God saying, no. I'm like, but I want to go there. No. Oh, I think no. So I'll get this stop. Or sometimes you'll be praying and you'll have this lack of peace, this catch in your spirit about something. I've heard people say that God will speak to them and he'll give them a word or a sentence or something. I've never had that, but I've heard of people saying that. I've heard of other people saying sometimes God will speak through a picture. They'll be going along, all of a sudden this picture kind of pops up in their mind and they know that it's God speaking to them. And so it's amazing that God is speaking to us and he wants to have a relationship with us. But are we listening? Are we listening? Joseph shows us an incredible example of listening when the angel shows up. Now, granted, an angel showing up in a dream is a pretty big speaking, right? That's pretty obvious. I would love to have that. I think I would. These people seem to be scared when they see angels, so maybe I have to be careful, right? But it'll be fun, I think. But he has an angel speak to him, and he says, you know what? That was God. That was God. Do you know how we know that he believed God? Well, the very next thing. If you look at verse 24, when Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife. And so the next thing is, he was obedient to God. He listened to what God had to say, and then as soon as he heard something from God, he went. He went. He woke up, and he marries her. If that's what you want, God, I'm going to do it. I don't care about the other people with the things. Even if it seems to violate what I think the right thing is, in this case, you've spoken to me, I'm going this way. I'm going this way. The beautiful thing is, he knew, because the angel told him, this was a special baby. This was something different. And so he didn't go out. Joseph didn't go out and ask for a second opinion. Say, hey, so Mary's pregnant. She says from the Holy Spirit, I had this weird dream, but I had just had some really spicy food the night before, so I'm not sure. What do you think? No. There's no asking for a consultation with someone else. He just says, God spoke, I'm going for it. And oh, what if we would have men and women in Discovery Bay who, when they hear from God, they obey. They take the step, what God has shown them to do. What would happen in Hong Kong, in Asia, in the world, if men and women who heard from God obeyed? What would happen? There's a great quote from D.L. Moody. The world has yet to see what God can do with a man fully consecrated to him, who says, nothing else, only you. Nothing else, only you. What you want, I will do it. And then D.L. Moody says, by God's help, I aim to be that man. What about us? Are we aiming to be the one that says, whatever you say, I'm in. I will do what you say. What's interesting is I think a lot of times we get stuck on, I wonder what God wants me to do, instead of remembering what he has already shown us to do. Because scripture is full of very clear commands from God that we need to obey. The way that we treat our wives, the way that we treat our children, the way we treat our parents, the way we treat our friends, the way we work, the way we handle our money, the way we take care of all of these things, right? God's given us clear direction. And so we need to obey. We need to be obedient, people who follow after him. So how do you need to obey is the question. Joseph did it. How are you going to do it? What's that thing that you know God's leading you to do and you're still debating, do I do it or not? Do it. And if you don't know, here's the nice thing for us. Just ask, Lord, is there something in my life that you're guiding me to and I'm just not seeing it? Will you please show me? And he will. He will, because he's for you. He's for you. He wants to help you take the right steps. So follow him in this. How do you need to obey? So look at verse 25. We'll get to the fun part here. Verse 25, so he takes Mary as his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is the fun part, right, guys? Now, whenever we say he knew her not, we're not talking about they didn't have any conversations, right? This is the biblical version of knowing that we're talking about. He keeps her a virgin. Now, wait a second. In our culture these days, we can't even do that, and we don't have a... Okay, so this is tough stuff. He's not having intimate relations with his wife. But we're married. We're married. It's okay. It's like, hey, there's something else going on here. I had a friend not too long ago, and he was talking about the different needs that we have in our lives, right? He said the physical needs. He was telling me, you have the physical needs, you have like the emotional needs, you have the spiritual needs, you have the sexual needs. And I was like, whoa, time out. That one doesn't get its own category, buddy. I'm sorry. That fits under one of the other ones, right? But I mean, our world doesn't think that way anymore. And it's happened all through history. It's part of a cycle, right? Where this realm, physical intimacy, the sexuality, it like becomes king of everything. And whatever somebody feels in that area, don't question it. Because that's who they are. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And so we see Joseph here, and he has an incredible gift. Self-control. 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 I mean, how many times in accountability groups or whatever have we said, yeah, I messed up. So-and-so didn't call me for 3 weeks, and so nobody was checking on me, so I just, what? It's their fault that you messed up? No. You know, my wife said some things that were me, so I just said, what? It's your wife's fault? No, it's not your wife's fault. It's called self-control, right? And in this very area, we see Joseph leading in a way that I don't like, right? I mean, this is one of the main reasons we got married, right, gentlemen? To enjoy, you're not going to admit that? Okay. Lots of reasons, obviously. I'm mostly joking. No, but seriously, self-control, self-control. Man, we need this. We need this. And Joseph demonstrates with his wife, he was self-controlled. And so here's what I believe happened. Whenever the angel shows up, Joseph realizes, oh, this is big. This is much bigger than what I thought it was. This isn't just something happening. This is something that God is doing. The angel starts quoting Isaiah. He's like, ah. And guys, this is what we have to capture. We have to capture, ladies and gentlemen, that we are part of something big. And what we do matters. It plays a part in the big thing that God is doing. Embrace it. See, the enemy wants to tell you this. It doesn't matter. It's just you. It won't affect anybody else. The biggest lie. We're part of something bigger, just like Joseph. So let's walk in this. Let's walk in this. And then ask the question, is there an area that needs to be dethroned? Needs to be taken off the high place that everything revolves around. I don't know what it may be. I'm not going to throw things out there. We've, you know, obviously, this one for Joseph, he had self-control, but maybe it's something completely different for you. That one area that the Spirit's pointing out in your heart right now, that one area that everything seems to revolve around, and maybe that's not God, and it needs to be dethroned so you can have self-control. And so, you know what? By your help, I can do this. Oh, a while ago I talked about the Holy Spirit, right? Remember the Holy Spirit? love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. He will help us. He will help us. He will help us. And that's really good news because we need help, right? So here's what you're thinking. As we're walking through this whole Joseph thing, maybe you're thinking this right now. I couldn't do it. I couldn't have been Joseph. If God had called me, I'd have said, oh, no, find somebody else. I can't be that guy. I can't do it. And so I would just follow with this question. Was Joseph a good Joseph? Was Joseph a good Joseph? And just to kind of point out some more things here, let me just think about this with you. How many times did Jesus quote his earthly father, Joseph? I've never seen one. How many times did we see Jesus talk about carpentry as an analogy, maybe a parable about carpentry, the trade that he learned from Joseph? How many times do we see that in Scripture? Not there. So was Joseph a good Joseph? Yes! He was a good Joseph. Why? Because he was Joseph. He was who God made him to be. He fulfilled the role that God gave him. And so whenever you're thinking about my life and what's my place, just be you. You don't need to be Joseph. You don't need to be Joseph. Just be you. God's put you in the place he's put you to be who you are. Be that guy. Be that woman. Be you. Don't try to be someone else. Don't put the pressure on yourself. You don't have to be Joseph. You don't have to be Superman. Just be you and do a good job at it. I imagine, obviously Scripture doesn't tell us about how Joseph related to baby Jesus. But I think about Jesus as he got a little bit older, whenever he fell asleep on the donkey on the way home. Who carried him in? Joseph picks him up, carries Jesus and puts him in his bed. And Jesus woke up enough and he remembered, wow, my dad is strong. I'm thinking about Jesus being carried on Joseph's shoulders, right? Yeah, laughing. I think about Jesus on the floor and Joseph's just tickling him. Ah, my dad is so cool. Joseph was Joseph. He played his role. And we need to play ours, especially as we think about Christmas time. Man, there's so many pieces moving at Christmas time. This party and that event and this thing, this schedule, this travel, all these things. And you know what? The people around you need you to just be you. Just be who God made you to be this Christmas. Just be the husband. Be the brother. Be the parent. Be the son, the daughter. Be the friend. Be you. Just be you. You don't have to try to do any more than that. And here's the irony. When you are you, and you fulfill the role that God's put you on earth to fulfill, here's what it's going to look like to people around you. You're going to look like Superman. Your wife would be like, yes, this is the guy I married. He's great. Your children would be like, yes, my dad is cool. Your friends, your parents, your brothers, all these people would be like, oh, it's so good to be with this person because they're just themselves and they're encouraging and they're helpful and they're positive. So just be you this Christmas. Just be you. Who God made you to be. Will you pray with me? Father, I thank you for Joseph and the incredible example that he sets for us of walking in the role that you gave him. I thank you that he was secure in his identity, Lord, that he was just and kind, Lord, all these different characteristics that we've talked about. But God, I thank you for just him being who you made him to be. And Lord, this morning, some of us that are in the room are wrestling with who we are. And so I just ask that you, by your Spirit, would speak peace, would speak confidence, would speak truth. Lord, the enemy throws so many lies. I just ask for you to speak truth into our hearts. Lord, there's some in the room, I believe, who need to trust Jesus, receive the forgiveness that he died. He came to earth and died on the cross and rose from the dead to give us the gift that he offers. Forgiveness, new life, life forever with him in heaven. And so I pray this Christmas will be just an amazing Christmas for those people who make the decision, yes, I receive the gift of Jesus. This Christmas, I receive the gift. Help all of us, Father, as we walk through these days to be who you made us to be. like Joseph. Lord, you are our hero, and so we look to you for strength. We can't do it on our own. Holy Spirit, we need you, as we've already sung. So help us, and we thank you for the reason to celebrate our Savior, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Will you stand together? We'll continue to...